Here we thank God for Creative Art Ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys seem to be so quiet. You're kind of a typical Baptist church. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now I can hear some life. Hey, they ministered from Psalm 24 in case you want to read it for yourself. And the message there is very simple. That God created the world. He founded it upon the seas. And therefore God established its ends. And he wants you, whom he's created, to inherit it. Hallelujah. And that means God has destined something for you. God wants you to walk into your destiny. And we go into a new year. And we have nothing but to expect God to lead us to inherit what he has prepared before the foundations of the earth, before we were even born, for us to walk into it. Hallelujah. And that is what God says. And he said that he's looking for a generation who will look up to him as their God, who will look up to him as the one who is going to guide them in everything that they do. And such is the one that God is looking for to worship him, people with clean hands. Today I'm going to talk about a message which we titled Taking Possession of the Land. Hallelujah. Amen. Taking possession of the land. Hallelujah. Amen. Only about three of you who want to take possession of the land. The rest, you can stay in 2016. I am going to 2017. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so, so much. You know what Amen means? That what we are saying, you want it to be true for you. If you don't want to be true for you, you just sit there. I am blessed because I take the word of God, I hold on to it, and I say amen to it because I know it's true. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me. We want to read the first 11 verses of Joshua chapter 1. If you've got your Bible, please turn to Joshua chapter 1, and we read it together. I mean, get me the mobile phone so that I can read from it. This is just not working. Thank you. So I'm kind of an old-fashioned man. I should have brought my big Bible. That is better. I know you guys think technology is better. It's good to have technology, but God is never changed. Okay, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord God spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to you, the children of Israel, God's people. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you. As I said to Moses, amen. Amen. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you. As I said to my servant Moses, from the wilderness and to the Lebanon, and as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the sea, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory, even the western boundaries of it to the Mediterranean. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage and courageous, for this people that you shall be strong and of good courage and courageous. For to these people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go and have good successes. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good successes. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, we are in a similar situation to the people of Israel. After having spent a long time, say about 40 years, on the wilderness, they were going, we were on a journey to go to a place that God has prepared to them. To put it in biblical language, God has a destiny for his people that they should inherit. And nothing should be able to stop you unless God says so. Hallelujah. So even as we are going to cross over into a new year, I just want to encourage you to know that God has a destiny for you and that nobody can stop it unless God says so. And of course, unless you don't believe it and you want to stay where you are. Every year I want to increase, not to grow taller physically, but I want to be taller and stronger in my faith, in my belief, in my trust. I want to be more successful year after year after year, don't you? Yes. Unless where you are happy. Of course, I'm happy where I am, but I know I can be happier. I know I can reach further height. My destiny is not rich yet. I know that for sure. And is your destiny rich yet? See, if it is no, then said, I want to reach my destiny in the coming year. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, when this chapter was written, the people of Israel were in a transition to possess a land, to fulfill God's promises for their lives. And to be able to take the land, things cannot be business as usual. You cannot take yesterday's anointing in 2016 to make it the standard for 2017. It's a totally new year, and therefore expect new things. Look behind you and say, you know, whatever I achieved, however successful that I was, I want to be more successful because I haven't reached my destiny yet. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, whatever problem that you encountered, you look at it and said, you are behind me now. I'm going to a new year because my destiny is not fulfilled yet and you're not going to follow me into it. And therefore, I leave you behind. I'm going to fulfill my destiny in Jesus' name. And that is exactly where these people were. They were at a point that they had to leave the desert behind them and to go and fulfill their destiny, the land that God has given to give them, promised to give them. And for them, business cannot be as usual. It's got to be a new perspective, a new understanding, a new fellowship, a new agreement, and a new determination and resolve. And that resolve takes courage. Hallelujah. So the Bible said, Moses, the servant of God, is dead. And now they've got a new leader called Joshua. Even the generation was different from when they set off 40 years ago. A lot of them were this time very young. Anyone above the age of 20 and more was dead. So you think about it. Or put it this way, anyone who was 20 or more by this time that they were talking were not around. So you can see that God had a whole lot of teenagers. Joshua had a whole lot of teenagers to deal with. A whole lot of youngsters and a few adults with them. They had to cross into a new land. And that was a sign for us to know there's great potential for you going into the new year. Hallelujah. There's some growth for you to make. There's some maturity for you to make. There's some land for you to possess. There's some excitement ahead of you. And there's some new thinking, new innovation, new agreement, new things for you to hope to get. So it's not just a happy new year and then you wish people and go away, but something that you have to look forward to in the coming year. Say hallelujah. And that is what God is saying. Please do not stay where you are as we go into the new year. Do not accept the negative things that has followed you in 2016. Do not accept the obstacles that have come your way in the year just gone. But you are going to accept the new provision that God wants to give to you going into the new year. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, God will want a people with a new message and a new agreement. And God does not want people who feed on microwave food. Do you understand that? Microwave food is quick to make. When you cook, it takes a lot longer. Isn't that right? Yes. Exactly. Well, at least somebody understands that. You see, God doesn't want microwave Christians. Because the people who were following Joshua at that time, they were young. They were like microwave Christians. I mean, they didn't even know much about God. They only think about the things that they hear. And they will jump to anything. But God wants to make them quality followers of Jesus Christ. God wants followers who are quality Christians going forward to possess that land. Hallelujah. So if you're a microwave Christian who wants everything quick for you, who doesn't want to do much but just slip it in a few seconds and it's all done and ready to eat, then God is not interested in that people like this. That's why Psalm 24 is saying that God is looking for a new generation who has not bowed their knees to the gods of this world, but whose hands are clean and who is determined to really follow God. For God has established the ends of the world, and he actually put it there for you. So going forward, we just want you to know that God wants us to do this, that we have to become quality Christians. God wants us to stop saying this, oh, I declare that in the coming year, your prayers are all going to be answered. It's not true. All your prayers will not be answered. Do you understand that? Yes or no? Because somewhere along the line, some prayers of yours are going to be obstructed by the enemy. There are giants in the land. There are opposing spirits in the land. Some people are going to frustrate you. And therefore, not every prayer is going to be answered the way you want it. So this idea that you get a text or a WhatsApp message saying that in the coming year, you're going to inherit every prosperity, every riches, every wealth is going to come to you. And you say, amen, 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 it's nice. But that is microwave Christianity. Do you understand that? These days when I see people send these things, I just delete them. So if you are going to send me, be sure that will be deleted before it is read. Because these things is actually, sometimes it's motivational language. Sometimes has no, deep source from the Word of God. The Word of God is deeper than just microwave. Hallelujah. You can turn off your telephone for now. At the moment, I want to share the Word of God with you. Thank you, Jesus. So what we are saying is that, look, let us not just fall in love with this idea that all your businesses are going to prosper. You need customers for your businesses to prosper. Or you need proper communication adverts for it to prosper. You need a good product for it to prosper. So if you are doing things badly, you shouldn't expect a good result from it. So it doesn't matter how many proclamations that they put on you, it ain't going to work. God is not looking for such microwave Christians. Don't use your Instagram and WhatsApp to propagate messages that are not true. It makes you feel good for the now, but come tomorrow, you just come back to earth and it's the same. Yes or no? It's absolutely true. I'm mature enough to know that this is absolutely true. I see a whole lot of people who are so excited, and when reality hits them, they don't even know how to pray for themselves because they're looking for messages like that to carry them through. That is microwave Christianity. Now, what is the reality in what we are reading from Joshua chapter 1? The reality is that God is looking for quality Christians so that he will show forth his glory through them. And so that they can also show it through the people around the world. God's beautiful promises does not come out of the blue. It comes as a result of following his laid down plan and growth purposes. And when these are actually followed, then we can inherit that land. Say hallelujah. God hasn't changed, but his people have changed. You see, during the time of Joshua, God hadn't changed. The same God who took them from Egypt, the same God who spoke to Abraham, was the same God who was actually with them. He hasn't changed, but a generation has changed. A whole lot of them have died because they did not believe God. They did not trust God. They did not hold on to God's word. They were quick-fist Christians. They were quick-fist followers of God. And therefore, a whole lot of them died. Because when we are quick-fist Christians, sometimes you just proclaim these wonderful things for yourself and you pray, and when it doesn't happen, you lose faith easily. I've prayed for so many things in the last year and it hasn't happened. Sometimes I am down, but never out. Sometimes I feel disappointed, but never lose faith to trust my God. And I press on and I press on and I press on, and I know my God is able to do it. That is the sign of a quality Christian that God is looking for you to be. That in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the challenges, you want to press on. When the victories are coming, you just don't jump on the hilltop to let everybody know your business. Some people don't like what they hear. Some people don't want you to be happy. And therefore, as they hear your business, you know what? They're going to obstruct you. Some joy you rejoice alone. Some joy you rejoice with your family alone. Some joy you rejoice with people who are on your side. And some you rejoice before the Lord. And going into this next year, I just want to encourage you that this is a message that I want you to hang on to and walk with it. That our God hasn't changed, but we do change. We, the generation, do change. The same God who gave the Israelites the promises, the same God that we serve. The same God who won great victories for his people is the same God who stood by and saw his people being defeated by the surrounding nations. Why? Because God's people would rather ignore him and do their own things and suddenly expect God to do miracles in their lives. And they expect God to help them. God doesn't work that way, my brothers and sisters. God doesn't. God has a destiny for his people that no man can take away unless he says so. We have a part to play by walking with God in this and calling into being our destinies in the coming year so that to be realized. Say amen to that. We want to call into being our destinies because we have to ask God, God, what is it that you brought me to this world to be? What is it that you brought me into this part of the world to be? What is it that you have actually born me into this year and going into the coming year? What is it that you want me to achieve? I want to know from the beginning of the year so that I can walk into my destiny, so that I can call them into being, so that I can do what you want me to do, so that I can see that being realized in my life. Hallelujah. We want God to do that in our lives. So we want to walk into our destiny. We have to walk into our destiny to possess the land. And as the new year approaches, it's time for us to get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am going to give you, as the word of God says. Because God called his people and said, you know what? Moses, my servant, is dead. But I want to call you and I want you to get ready. In 3 days, we are going to possess the land. Think about it. 40 years they struggled to possess the land. And Joshua comes and said, this is a new beginning. We're going to 2017. And in 3 days, we're going to possess the land. How awesome is that? For him to say that, that means he saw something different. For him to say that, that means he sees something different. He expects something different than it has ever been. He was with Moses. Brothers and sisters, he did not just appear. He was Moses' servant. He was Moses' minister. That means he was there to help him. When Moses is losing faith, he was there. When Moses is tired of praying, he was praying. Yes or no? Check the Bible for yourself. So that after Moses has come down, Joshua will stay before the Lord and still be praying. So he was not just a servant being whipped around. He was somebody who was of strength to Moses. But somehow he saw everything that Moses went through and he said, in my turn, it's going to be different. So you look back in the year just gone, which is going to go in about half an hour or thereabout, and you are going to tell yourself that I want to see something different in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see something different in my life. It's going to be different than it has been. It's going to be different than it has been for several years for you. It's going to be different because in 3 days' time, you're going to see the glory of God. In a short while, you're going to see the power of God. In a short while, you're going to inherit the destiny of God. And you must know this destiny so that you can walk into it. Praise the Lord. See, 40 years earlier, they have gone to spy the land. 12 of them. And 10 came and said, we are not able to. But you know what? 2 people, including Caleb and Joshua, said, we are able to. And 40 years on has come, and he stood there, and he's wondering, you know what? I'm not going to make the mistakes of yesterday anymore. So I just want you to know that you cannot stand where you were last year and expect to inherit the land. You cannot stay in your past and let it cripple you and not move forward. You got to begin to have a new perspective that I am going to look forward into something good. So God said it in many times, said, Joshua, now you are in charge. I want you to be courageous and take courageous decisions and make them. So I'm challenging you, and I'm also encouraging you as a church that going forward, we have to take courageous decisions and hold on to them and walk into them. If you've been afraid to do certain things, this is the time for you to say, God is on my side. Hallelujah. God is on my side. So I'm going to take these decisions. Because as I read earlier on from Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, time and time again, said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Are we serving the same God or not? Yes or no? Exactly. So as he was with Moses, he's going to be with us. But we have to have a new perspective, and we have to know that we are in a new leadership. We have to know we are a new generation going to a new year, and therefore we expect new things to happen, even bigger than it was with Moses. But God says, I'm going to be with you. God's promise is that I'm going to be with you. And my knowledge about the Bible, which I believe I have good knowledge about the Bible, tells me that the sentences or the statement that is repeated most in the Bible is not prayer, it's not faith, it's not love, but I will be with you. I would dare you to check it up. I will be with you. So God is saying that he will be with his people. That is his promise. And God wants to keep that promise. And if God is going to keep that promise, then he wants us to be having courageous decisions. So now, they've come to the pinnacle of the land. They're just about here. Now, they have to cross the river. They have to come and possess the land. And to possess the land, and for God's apostolic plan to come through in their lives, 3 things ought to happen. And I want you to write these 3 things down. If you want to inherit the land, because we read in verse 2 that wherever the sole of your feet will tread, God will give you that land. Amen? Amen. And if for God is going to give you those things, 3 things ought to happen. First, you have to be a people of the Word of God. Write it down. You need to be a people of the Word of God. 2, you need to be a people of prayer. Write that one down too. And 3, you need to be a people identified with God. For you to possess that land, these 3 things ought to happen. Because God does not work like a microwave. So you can claim anything in the Bible as you want. It ain't going to happen. Because a lot of things that we claim in the Bible are taken out of context. As I said, I am confident that I have good understanding of the Word of God. And I'm challenging you that check it out. Most of the verses that you claim, which is so beautiful, are actually in context of a bigger picture. And when you come to understand the picture, sometimes you see that it is not going to work for you. Because you are claiming wrong. It doesn't work for you. 3 things need to happen. You've got to be a people of prayer, a people of the Word, a people of prayer, and people who are identified with God. Now let me explain that. When you look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, So keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Did you hear that? So did you see the condition? The condition to be prosperous and successful in the coming year is to be a people of the word. That means you have to read the word of God, not just 2 minutes. Sometimes you have to read a good chunk of it. When we say meditate, that means you take time to reflect upon it, think deeply about it, and ask God for understanding to apply it in your life. He said, be careful to do what it says. And then, when you have done it, then you'll be prosperous and successful. So you recall that God's people have been successful up to this point. They have taken Jericho and utterly destroyed the people that's in them. They had also destroyed 5 kings of the south. The only time they were unsuccessful is when they violated God's word or God's law. And Achan kept some of the spoils from the land. But after Achan had been identified and the people done what God instructed them to do, they took Ai back and destroyed it. And the word of the Lord was read to the hearing of all the people. Turn to Joshua chapter 8, verse 34 to 35. This is what happened. Afterward, Joshua read all the word of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it's written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and foreigners who lived among them. Even our children need to know the word of God. Are you hearing that? You see, we Christians, we shy away from teaching our children the word of God, and we allow the world and the internet to teach our children what they want them to know. Children know more about worldly song than our song in church. Children know more about the internet more than knowing the word of God. People know more about the bad things out there than knowing about God. Why? Because we ourselves are not the people of the word. So for us to possess the land in the coming year, the first thing that we need to do is to read the word of God, meditate upon it, and read it even to the hearing of our children. And even the foreigners that live among us, we need to let them hear the word of God. Say amen to that. Amen. You see, secondly, for them to be successful, to avoid a situation that Achan went through, Joshua made sure that these people actually understood the word of God. They know it, they meditate upon it, and do what it says. This is the secret of success for them. Then secondly, to be a people of prayer. Joshua 1:9 says that, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Look at an assurance like this. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, this is a conversation that Joshua was having with God all along. Each time God was talking to him, and he was talking back. That is prayer, my brothers and sisters. We need to be a people of prayer. God is saying to Joshua, before you move forward, you have to talk to me and make sure that I am going with you. There is no way you are going to beat these giants who are on the land. In 2017, I said, there are difficulties over there. In the time of Joshua, the land that they were occupying, they were giants. They were wicked people. And there are some wicked people, and they are strong and powerful people in this world who will obstruct you from reaching your destiny. And the way to reach your destiny is to talk to God. Are you getting it? You got to be a people of prayer. You got to talk to God. Not 2 minutes prayer and you walk out and catch your bus. You spend more time on the bus or on the train or driving than you pray. Why? That is not acceptable. That is not a way to actually possess your land. So you see how the quick fix stories that people send to you by WhatsApp is not working because you are not doing what God wants you to do. Are you with me? See, you don't like it because you love the internet more than God. I don't. Internet is good. It's a facility. But I'd rather worship God. And I thank God that if it hadn't been for the grace of God, I would not be standing here. And I thank God for this. So, there need to be a people of prayer. You recognize that the first time they defeated Jericho, the ark of the Lord was with them, showing the presence of God and the conversation that he was having with his people. The only time they were unsuccessful was when they were defeated in Ai. The ark of the Lord was not present. If you read the story, you will know that when they went to Ai, the people went to spy the land. And they said, oh, come on, they are a small nation, a small village. We can defeat them. Let us only send a few thousand people and go. And they were defeated. They did not go with the ark of God, which is the presence of God, which is prayer for you as a believer. So if you think, oh, this problem I can conquer. Oh, this job I'm going to get it because I'm smart. I'm all qualified for it. Do you know how many people have all the qualifications and the experience and they go to a job interview and they say, don't get it? In all the 25 to 27 years that I work in the secular world, I never had more than 2 interviews to get a job. I only work in 4 jobs, companies for 27 years. And in each one, I was more successful than the other. Each one, I got more money than the other. It's my choice to stand here and to preach to you today. The past 2 years, I'm full-time here in this church. And I thank God for Jesus. How do you survive from huge money to almost nothing money? God is on my side. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that is what God does. He just is with you. You got to be a people of the word who knows the word of God seriously, who spend time in it, meditate upon it, and pray about it. You need to be somebody who really take God for who he is. You need to be somebody who prays. You got to be praying. You got to be praying. This is a new vocation that I've got, is to get up in the cold and go for a walk for an hour and a half. Get frostbite. But what I enjoy most about it is the time that I pray. I scream. And sometimes people see me and they run away. They think I'm mad. I'm just praying to my God. And it's so wonderful. It's so exciting. And I just start my day with so much spring in my feet. And I just want to encourage you that be a person of prayer. And make sure that the ark of the Lord is with you. Let me pick up the final one. So in order to be successful, they have to constantly seek God to see if he's in it or not. If he's in it, you charge forward. If he's not, hold your position. Joshua was constantly in conversation with God, so he was a man of prayer, and we want to learn from him. And finally, to be successful and to take the land, you need to be a people identified with God. When I started and I read and I said, wherever the sole of your feet would tread, God will give you the land. A lot of you said amen to that. You love that. But that was only part of the story. You see, and this is what people take and say, look, wherever the sole of your feet would tread, God will give you that land. And we say amen. But the person who said that doesn't even know the word of God. So why are you saying amen to it? Go and read it for yourself. Be a people of the word. Be a people of prayer. And know God's thought about it. You cannot be successful. You can only use your cleverness to be relatively successful. But to be successful and complete, you need to be a people of the word and a people of prayer. Somebody who read the word of God and knows that now you have to be people who are identified with God. That's the final point. Before they took their first step to conquer the land, the Lord instructed them to be circumcised. This will outwardly identify them as belonging to God. I'm not saying go to the hospital for you all to be circumcised. This is not what I'm asking for. But figuratively, that time, they circumcised to actually make a covenant with God that we belong to God. You see, for 40 years they've walked on the land, and the generation that were with Moses all died. Even Aaron died. By the time that we were writing Joshua chapter 1, Aaron had died and Moses had died. So there was no one who was alive except for Caleb and Joshua who set off from Egypt, who were alive. And the Bible tells that for none of them has circumcised. That means none of them was identified with God as belonging to God. And somehow along on we need to. This was something God instructed them to do way back in the time of Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, you can check it out for yourself. But during the wanderings in the wilderness, they stopped doing it. Now this is the time to bring that back before them. Sometimes the challenges of 2016 has prevented some of us from actually seeking God's face intimately. Some of us, we've even stopped being the type of Christians that God wants us to be. We have moved on from being quality and serious Christians to quick fix Christians and microwave Christians. You see, I have no difficulty really talking against most of this. I claim this, I claim this, I claim this, because it is not scripture. I remember in the course of the year, I was on a WhatsApp group of about 200-300 people. And someone brought some of this, and I said, look, there's nothing scriptural about it. The person was so angry because he was an archbishop. I couldn't care less. I challenged the person. I met the person, and I took the person through scripture. And the person realized that it was just motivational language. As I said, I want to challenge you to read the Bible for yourself. That is when you know God intimately. That's when you know God, what he wants from you, and how he wants you to live. So you have to be marked by God. For a few painful days, the only people who were strong to do anything in the camp of the Israelites were women. Some people struggle about women in leadership. Without women, what would we do? The most faithful people in this church or ever in my ministry has been women. Of course, the men are great too. Why are you laughing? I just want you to know, so if you struggle with women in leadership, you don't understand scripture. Jesus Christ worked with them. So, here we are. The Bible tells in Joshua chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, and after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. You see, when you are identified with God, God rolls away your reproach. Your past is put behind you. God starts life with you again. You may be as sinful as Adam. And God says, you know what? I'm starting with you again. You are different. I want to journey with you with a new perspective, with a new direction, and that is what I want to see. So when it's all said and done, Joshua took all that land and he directed Moses. Sorry, as the Lord directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to the people of Israel according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had a rest from war. God gave them the south, the north, the east, the west, and said, this is your inheritance, with their names written on the land. And as we go into the new year, in the next 15 minutes, God is going to give you the north, the south, the east, and the west, with your name written on it. Hallelujah. And God is going to do that if you are a people of the word, if you are a people of prayer, if you are people who are identified with God, and people who stand and say, God, you know what? I'm going to be part of a local church. I'm not going to attend church late. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to open my heart for the anointing of God to rest upon me. The anointing doesn't come by heart. The anointing comes through prayer. The anointing comes through reading the word of God. People who are identified by God. I want to commend this message to you. I want us to stand right now so that we can pray. And then Alice will come and pray us into the new year. Shall we stand right now?